Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Amen. Amen. Starting a brand new message series today called Identity Theft. How many know that's a real thing? I mean, some of our generation, we never heard of it growing up. But if you're under about 20 or 30, especially if you're under 20 to 30 years old, you've heard it all your life. Now, let me give you quick statistics about some things that's happening with that. This was 2023. They're still tallying up 2024. It has grown in 2024, heading into 2025. But last year, or in 2023, 1.1 million reports of identity theft just in the U.S. alone. 33% of Americans will experience some type of identity theft. One-third of our nation already has, and that number is continuing to grow. And of course, 40% of all identity theft, if you've got one of them, and you probably do, they're from the pits of hell if you don't know how to keep them controlled, and that's through a credit card. Amen? Amen? So be careful using that plastique. Now, real quickly, the financial impact on this is fraud cost America per year, right now, as in 2023, over $8.8 billion a year in identity theft and fraud. Wow, yes. And there are four major types of theft that they go after to make you aware of this. Again, number one is the credit card theft. But number two is government documents and benefits. Okay, fraud through tax filings and things like that. Your unemployment benefits, and some people is jumping on that and getting that, and you ain't even unemployed yet, okay? But somebody else is enjoying your benefits. And then, of course, we have what we call account takeovers, where they're just going in and they're taking over your 401ks, your Roth IRAs, your that's the cyber crimes that's getting in that, your personal accounts, your banking accounts, checking accounts. They just get access to your stuff, and they just start acting like they're you, and they have at it. And then, of course, the last one, which I didn't know that much about, but medical identity theft. Oh, yeah. Yeah. People are getting surgeries in your name and charging them to you. I guess that's what you call forced to be a blessing to somebody. I don't know. But wow. But I want to tell you, it's not just a physical crime that's happening. Now, when we talk about it from that aspect, it's us involved, our physical's involved, our money's involved in that, and that's terrible. But how many know that that's just a reflection of what the enemy wants to do to you? So I want to go ahead and put up the first note. So identity theft is not just a physical crime. It is a spiritual battle for who we truly are. Because anytime the enemy can keep you from understanding who you are as a man of God or a woman of God and keep you out of the full potential and the maximum things he has for your life, then he's winning a certain aspect of your life, your neighbor's life, the people you have influence with, where God's going to put you at a job at, what he's going to do with you at your church, what he's going to do with you everywhere you go. If you can live beneath your maximum potential, he's winning. He may not be winning the whole battle in your life, but if he's winning in any area, it's an area he doesn't belong. Amen? Amen? And we're all subject to that. And so that's why this series, and I hope you come back next week. This is kind of the introductory tonight, but we're going to go endless into this thing right next week especially. But speaking of endless, how many know the enemy is endless and he's tireless at attacking you? Amen? I mean, he don't stop. And when it comes to your identity in Christ, he likes to plant seeds. Because seeds, it takes sometimes for a while to come up. But he'll plant the seeds of doubt. He'll plant the seeds of confusion. I just don't know. Fear, anxiety, all this. And how many's ever had this thought come to you? Especially if you felt God nudging you maybe to witness or to talk about him or to read the Bible. Just some form of anything God's prompting you to do. How many's ever had the devil come immediately and tell you, you're not good enough to do that? Come on now. Raise your hand, that way everybody else feels. I think we've all had that. I've had that as well as anybody else has ever had it in their life. And then when you're trying to do better and you really got this determination in your life, I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to start serving. I'm going to start faithfully doing this. Immediately, you can't change. You can't really change. That's not going to last. You know you ain't going to stick to that. How many else hears those words? And then one of the biggest traits he likes to do, because we are a people of faults, we are a people who are not perfect, we've made mistakes, he will always try to define you by your past. Not your past successes, but your past failures. And therefore, now you can't change, and you're not good enough to be who God says you are. That's for those other people who are really spiritual and, you know, pray 10, 11 hours a day and read the Bible for 14 hours a day and go witness 19 hours a day because they have like 72-hour one day. I don't know anybody doing that, self-included. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, we live in a real world. But because we do, we've got to understand this tactic of the enemy, amen? Now, when you don't know your identity in Christ that you're created to be, then you will take it upon yourself to try to create you an identity. Right. And that is the problem. Amen. That is the major problem we are experiencing as a nation, as a people, even as a church. We are trying to create an identity based on what we think, we feel, or our experiences. And so we will begin to hang around and be a part of some type of thing that gives us a fulfillment of our identity. Come on. Now, and I'm not totally against this, so please don't send me the emails. But we have churches now that are sprouting up based on hobbies. And again, they are having some success. They're doing good. And when it's real like that, hey, I'm great with that. But if you build a church on a hobby and not on Jesus, and if your identity is more in the hobby church, whether it's a golf church or a cowboy church or a fishing church, I'm for a beach church. Thank you, Jesus. But you see what I'm saying? Again, please don't misunderstand me. There are some fabulous churches, and they are doing a good kingdom work. If the hobby will get them through the door and they can hear the word of Jesus Christ, I'm for it. But if the hobby and the identity is more in the hobby than it is Jesus, then you've got a social club, you don't have a church. And that's not just with hobby churches, that's with churches like this it can be. Amen? So we've got to quit trying to build an identity on our personal interests, our personal taste, and our personal likes and dislikes. What does the Word of God say? And go with that. Because I promise you, there'll be some point of your life, it'll take you into a little bit of discomfort. If you're going to follow the Word of God, you will get out of your comfort zone. I don't care how Pentecostal you think you are, you haven't arrived. And by the way, do you know there were three feasts? There was the three feasts of Passover, which is salvation. There's the feast of Pentecost. That was the day that they received, okay? But then you know, and that's where most people stop. Oh, I'm Pentecost. Huh? There was a feast after that called Tabernacles. And not too many people even know what the Feast of Tabernacles is about. It'd do you good to study it one day. Because if you're just Pentecost, you haven't fully arrived. Shandai glory. I'm not going to get on that tangent this morning. But we've got to get some people, if you find your identity and this is a big one now, talking about everybody. Do you know who you're going to gather around? Other slanderers and gossipers? Because it's going to validate what you feel is important. It makes you important that you've got the ability to tear somebody down. Congratulations. Wow. What a gift. And you call yourself Christian, too, on top of that. Well, I'm going to try to get you out of here at a dirty time, so I'm going to keep going. So basically, a lot of times, the identity will be whatever you can do to get somebody to look at you and pay you attention. You will begin to establish an identity, and whatever will get you, somebody pay me attention, and somebody look at me, and now we're in an age we live in, somebody comment about it. And when you lock into that and you can find a little taste of that, oh, man, you have arrived in your identity. And sometimes it is not godly. Amen. Most of the times it's not godly. There are people who want to be up here on a platform like this because somebody look at me and pay me some attention. I'm going to tell you the only reason I'm here is because God made me get here. I ran. I had the greatest excuses on planet Earth. I wouldn't have never had brought me in to do this. Amen? But I'll tell you, first and foremost, before I'm a pastor, I'm a child of God, first and foremost. I consider my second position as a worshiper of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then my call to ministry lays under those two. Because if I don't have those two, what good is the call of ministry if you're not a child of God and you're not a worshiper? So I don't have put my identity in being a pastor. My identity's in I'm a son, I'm a child of God. That's first and foremost above anything, amen? As it should be. So here's a question I want to prompt to you today. Who are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Because the Bible, as we're going to discover here in just a few moments, the Bible is screaming at us. This is who you are. This is what I've called you to. This is how you act. This is how you react. Okay? The Bible is screaming off the pages at the church, be my children, sons and daughters. And then there's a world that's screaming at the church going, no, don't believe all that. Just act like this. Be like everybody else. Put your faith here. Put your identity in this. Somebody's winning the battle. Because the only way they can win the battle is whoever you're giving your ear to. So who are you listening to today? Are you listening to the Word of God? Are you listening to what the world says? Because let me go ahead and put up the next note. The thing we've got to know today, is my identity rooted in God's truth or the enemy's deception? Whew. And we've all got to answer that in a personal. I can't answer for you, and you sure can't answer for me. Amen? Now, this is not going to be in your note, but it's pretty good because it'll probably come up next week. Your identity determines your destiny. Because your destiny is tied to your identity. I'll break some of that down next week. Just a little teaser. Amen? Why do you think so many men and women go through what we call in life? Now listen, here's what we identify it as. I'm going through a midlife crisis. And what is that? It's where I've done something this long, and I thought I'd be somewhere else, and now I'm not sure about who I really am, and I want to make some drastic changes into my life, and most of the time, it's not really good ones. I've done this Christian things. I've done this, been married to this same idiot for 20 years now, or however long, or this same old woman here, and I'm tired, and we're tired, and there's a whole world I haven't experienced, so I need a new identity. So I'm either going to cut my hair or let it grow out. I'm either going to quit getting tattoos or get me some. I'm either going to not get a piercing or get a piercing now. I'm going to go out here and buy the Corvette that I can't afford or the motorcycle or whatever the hobby is, and I'm going to try to reinvent my identity. And to do that, I'm going to leave everything God's ever taught me and rebel against it. And we call it a midlife crisis, and all it really is the devil giving full in to his identity theft of your life. How many people have you seen do that? Come on, we've seen way too many, and it's not funny, it's not this, it is an identity theft, stealing someone's identity of who they are in Christ. And they're dumb enough to believe it. I just hate to say it like that, but it is. Now, real quickly, John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus Christ says, there is a thief. This is called identity theft. For someone to steal your identity, a thief has to come. And here's the thief. Jesus Christ himself called it out. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy you. To destroy your identity, to destroy your family, to destroy your marriage, to destroy your calling, to destroy your anointings, to destroy your gifts and your talents. Anytime you get it out of whack and you're not operating in the identity of Christ, you start operating in the identity of you, that's when, I don't care what you're doing, begins to fail. How many pastors over the past 2 years have we seen fall, what we call fall from grace? Amen. Why? Because their identity got off of what God called them to do, and their identity, they begin to believe everything everybody began to say about them. Right. Don't believe all the news about yourself, good or bad. Yeah. Amen? Don't become a legend in your own mind. Y'all okay? But Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more what? Abundantly. I'm not going to take the time to break that down, but I want to get straight into this. Go ahead and put the next note up. So the enemy, if he's going to do something, he's going to have a strategy. Everybody say a strategy. Strategy. He's got a strategy, and it's the same strategy he's been using since creation. There's nothing new about this. We ought to be so learned in this that we don't fall for it, but somehow it's still as effective today as it was back then. From creation, he's always challenged the identities. Amen? So it's to steal your identity. That's his strategy. He wants to steal your identity. Okay? And real quickly, now if you know anything about the book of Genesis and the start, and God created all the world, he put Adam and Eve right in the middle of it. He said, here's a tree. Don't eat that tree. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. If you eat the fruit of that tree, I'm going to kill you, basically. He says, surely you will die. Okay? And so the enemy comes up to Eve, and she happens to be out there, and he tells her, did God really say this? And she said, yes. He said, if I eat of that tree, I'll surely die. And the devil immediately responded and says, you will not die. Girl, you ain't going to die. The Lord holding something back from you. So let's pick up reading real quickly. Chapter 3, Genesis, verse 4 through 6. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Verse 5. For God knows, everybody say God knows. God knows in the day that you do eat of it, your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be like God and you're going to know good and evil. Woo! And so look at the next verse. This is where I want to stop at. So when the woman saw that the tree was, everybody say good? Good for food, that it was pleasant. Everybody say pleasant. Pleasant to the eyes and a tree, everybody say desirable. This tree was desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate it, and then she also gave it to her husband, and he ate. Now, leave that up there just for a moment. Three words that stand out. Here we have, we always hear it preached like this. Satan come in and immediately began to attack the identity of who God really is. And that is true. That's true. But if you get into verse 6 and look, the way he tempted her is, and she looked, and there's the word good. There is the word pleasant to her eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And then that tree's desirable. It doesn't say she looked over there and saw this nasty looking hanging fruit with flies all over it. And it had thorns to try to get to it that was going to cut her up. No, a false identity doesn't come in the form of sin, just blatant, yeah, right before you. Because if it was that, you would probably go, well, wait a minute, that ain't God. I don't know if I want to be a part of that. Okay? But when you take to that point and you get there, and it looks good, it looks pleasant, and it seems desirable, and you don't know who you are in Christ, you're done. You'll do exactly what she done. You'll take that and make it yours. Come on. We've got to get out of this thing about Satan's going to appear to us like this red dragon with a little pitchfork and a tail. He's going to come as an angel of light. You're going to think, man, I am so right. I am so spot on with this. God would want me to know good from evil. We can justify a different identity. So, yes, he was challenging the identity of God in her life, but you also understand she is being challenged for her own identity. God says, I've made you in my image. You can walk with me during the day. Just don't do this. I got everything I could ever have. Paradise. But all of a sudden, I think I want a little more based on what is good to my eyes, what is pleasant to me, and what I desire. Now, Satan just didn't attack her. He attacked and tried to get her in a different identity. Can I have an amen? Now, from the beginning, again, let me say, everybody say, from the beginning. God's tactic has been able to come into our lives and cause us, she began to doubt. Amen? What else did she do? She began to be distorted from the truth, and she got disconnected from her real identity. Okay? And now her identity is being found, and she thinks that she needs this in her life. Now, listen to me real quickly. Here is the identity that he wanted her to be set up in. You listening? You've got a tree. God don't want you to have that tree. He's holding something back from you. He's not a God that's loving you good enough. Come on. And the identity she took on that moment is the identity that is rampant in our society today. She took on a victim mentality. Well, I'm a victim of God. If God really loved me, then he would do this. Why would he withhold something from me? Why would a good God tell me no? I'm a victim, and I don't want to be a victim anymore, so I'm going to do what looks good to me, what looks pleasant to me, and what I desire now. Because this is probably going to get me in a position, I'm going to be like God. And she fell for it. And we're still falling for that same play. It's not a different play, y'all. It's the same exact method, strategy that he's using today to affect most people, including myself at times in my life, or at least tempting us in that. Amen? First thing you need to know about your identity theft, when it begins to happen, go ahead and put it up. It starts and always begins with a lie. It's always a lie. And it's a lie about who God is and who you are. Who are you? Oh, I'm a victim. And I would dare say in a crowd like today, we've got probably plenty of us sitting here today that fall under this victim mentality. Because it's being taught in schools and colleges a lot. It's somebody else's fault. It can't be your fault. Come on, somebody, amen. Amen. See, now, this is not in your notes, but it's good enough I'd write this one down too. Satan was not granted, nor does he ever have the power to create. So that's why he has to manipulate. He can't create you an identity that you will automatically take, but he can manipulate you into being a victim and being the person. It's always somebody else's fault, and it's you deserve this because you're you. Like I think I said last week, some of your kids need to hear that everybody don't think they're the center of the universe. Now, you need to build them up constantly, yes, but they need to prepare for a world that walks out there that's going to think little Junior and little Sissy ain't all that in a bag of chips. And they need to be able to walk into a world and handle that. If they don't, guess what they'll do? They'll take on a victim mentality. That's exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. Oh, I'm going to get you out of here, okay. So, I'm going to put up the next note. The world's labels, everybody say labels, they are designed to redefine you. All three of these precious baby girls were already defined this morning by God. Amen. Daughters, girls. Girls, females. Amen. Got the chromosomes, got the DNA, females. Every one of them. But what society saying in the world saying today? Well, you can just redefine that if you like. If it's how you feel, don't matter what the word says, doesn't matter what God says. Again, you're a victim if you don't feel right. You're a victim. You need to make the changes for you. Get it, walk in your whatever identity you want to. I mean, how dumb can you get and still breathe on planet Earth? I used to think of how stupid can you get, but I think there's a whole bunch of people that's taking that as a challenge. I think they do when I say, how stupid can you get? Like, you ain't seen nothing yet, buddy. We can get a whole lot more stupid. But the world wants to put a label on you, a different identity to redefine you other than being a man and a woman of God, a marriage of God, a worker of God, a servant of God, an anointed of God, a forgiven of God. He wants to label you with all this other stuff to hold you down. Man, I can't wait to get to next week too. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, very familiar scripture. But the Bible tells us as believers, do not be conformed to this world. Don't conform to the lies. Don't conform to the deception. Don't conform to popularity. Don't conform to political correctness. Don't conform to anything that goes outside the boundaries of the Word of God. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, what? By the renewing of your mind. Everybody say, my mind.
My mind.
I love to preach this. It doesn't say, now listen to me, Christians, it doesn't say to be renewed by the renewing of your spirit. Do you know your spirit doesn't ever backslide? Because if you got the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, he don't backslide. So what about me that does? It's your soulish realm. It's the way you think. It's the way you receive. It's the way you process things. That's why the scripture is so accurate. You don't be renewed by trying to, well, I'm going to renew my spirit. Well, then you need to get saved. If you got a bad spirit that needs renewed, God doesn't have a bad spirit. He's pure. He's holy. He's God. And it says the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells inside every believer. My spirit has never been a problem, but my soul has. Because my soul is my will, my mind, my emotions, my heart, my conscience, my flesh, my carnality that I get to choose what to do with. And when I don't follow the Spirit and I get into my carnal flesh, I'm tempted to take on an identity that does not belong to me legally. But I can make it mine if I so choose. But by the same power I can choose what the world says, I've got the same power, even inside my soulish realm, to say I'm going to follow, I'm going to walk by the Spirit. I'm going to walk by faith, not by sight. I'm going to believe and receive out of my spirit what God has told me I am, and I'm not going to walk anything less. We got to get this in our DNA if we're going to have a chance, amen? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, you think in your identity of Christ. Why? That way I'll always prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My identity in Christ will always prove out the Word of God to be true. But when I walk outside of my identity, then I can take the Word of God and begin to manipulate it, which is witchcraft, and try to make it say something to justify my sinful identity now. Well, by the way, I need to give a couple of shout-outs right in the middle of this. I need to shout out to our people who are in Florida watching. And I need to shout all the way up to Virginia, to our people in Virginia that are watching this morning. It was great meeting you guys last week. All right, that's the Spirit of the Lord. But culture, today's society culture, it wants to rename you off of these three factors. Write them down. It wants to first and foremost rename you out of your past mistakes and failures. This is who you are. This is what you've done. That's all you'll ever be. And let me just give you this right here. Everybody say my past. It ain't just your past. And it's not even really your friend. It's your generational family. Oh, how many times do we deal with what we call generational curses? And you take it on you because, well, our family, it's just always been that way in our family. Well, in our family, everybody's got a divorce. Well, in our family, everybody's an alcoholic. Well, in our family, everybody's went to jail. Well, in our family, the homosexual started right here three generations ago, and there's been somebody in our family all the time. That's just the way we are. And you identify with that because in your family's lineage, it's there. Whatever it is. And you just assume that you have to take that on. No, you don't. Again, every identity theft starts with a lie. That's not who you have to be anymore. We're always poor. You can become the first rich person, spirit, soul, and body, and even finances if you like in your generation. If you apply yourself to the Word of God, you'll break every curse. Diabetes, heart condition, cancer, breast cancer, I don't care what it is. I'm so sick of seeing, well, you know, our family always has it. Well, I just sometimes I'm going to look and say, well, then enjoy it then. I'll see you later. Want me to pray for a generational curse you're agreeing with? And I pray and you still agree with the curse. And then you wonder why God ain't healing you. Because you ain't identifying as healed, breakthrough, delivered, and set free. You're a victim of a curse of health or wealth or society or education or social status, and you become a victim of identity theft through your family. And you need to break that curse off you, especially if you want to get married and have some kids. You break everything off you can think of. Well, does that mean my family's not perfect? Guess what? Let me tell you something. Your family ain't perfect. My family's not perfect. And we have called out, when we started having kids, we called out everything we knew to call out. And then I even said, Lord, if there's things I don't know about in my family heritage. Now, I'm fixed to make some of y'all probably really, really mad. That's okay. I love you anyway. I have a pretty decent Indian heritage. Do y'all know what Indians used to do? They used to smoke a little opium pipe. And then they'd start hallucinating and start worshiping these false gods. Now, they did a lot of good, some of them, and they were treated bad. But you know what I begin to curse out of my generation bloodline? Lord, anything that comes down of idol worship through my heritage, through Indian heritage, through wherever the rest of my blood come from, I don't even know where all of it came from, but I know where it is now. It's all been washed by the blood of Jesus. So when you establish your bloodline from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the kingdom of God, now you get to pass on a generational bloodline that is blessed and highly favored among men. Woo! And diabetes begins to stop, and heart conditions begin to stop, and high blood pressure begins to stop, and the divorce begins to stop, and the alcoholism begins to stop. Everything begins to stop when one person of that family rises up in their true identity. Thus far, but no more. I got to go. Oh, wow. We're going to be in overtime. That's the best part anyway. So culture will rename you by your past. It'll rename you by how you think you're performing right now. And here's another big one. It'll rename you as you seek popularity. So I'll compromise my beliefs where somebody will think I'm cool. I'll go out here and show I can drink anybody under the table. And so a bunch of drunks will think I'm cool. I'll smoke more dope than y'all. That way all the dope heads will think I'm cool. I'll have more sex with anybody else. And all the other girls and boys will be jealous because I'll be cool. You are stupid. Now listen, God loves you, stupid, but you're stupid. I mean, God does love. I've been stupid. We've all been stupid. But thank God, by the grace of God, He'll bring you out of stupidity. And He'll place you in a place where you know better now and you don't do that stuff no more. And you raise your generation up to avoid that stuff, hopefully. Some of the places He'll do that popularity is social media. I'll post whatever I got to post. Girls, if I got to show something to get more likes, you'll show it. If God gave it to you, nobody wants to see it except your spouse. And if somebody else besides your spouse wants to see it, that lets you know you're putting your identity in somebody else's. And that goes for the guys too in here. Now it's getting as bad with that crap. Your social media status. If I can obtain this much money, then I'll feel like I've arrived and my identity will be good when I get financial security. You know, some of my most probably intimate times with God's when I was, Lord, how are you going to pay for this? Lord, I don't know how we're going to make it. We're going to get groceries this week. I've been there. You know where it pushed me to? God. It wasn't a curse at that time. It was pushing me to depend on God and not man. But some people, it's like, well, what are we going to do? I might have to drive a car that's not brand new leather smell all the time. Really? I may not be able to live in a house. I may have to go to somewhere else and live in a campground. That's one of my goals. Get to more easy living. But what the world considers success versus what God considers success. Success in the world's eyes is all about money and stature and status and power. Success in the kingdom is obedience and faithfulness and giving. And I know a lot of people that coined the phrase of a southern phrase, they don't have a pot to pee in, but they are so blessed and they are so happy and they're not stressed and they're living as closer to God than the person in the mansion that's got somebody having an affair, somebody doing this, somebody spending out money. We don't know how we're going to pay for our bills next month if this don't happen. And oh my gosh, this, and I got to go down to the therapy and take this and drug this and pop this and shoot this to try to even function one day. Is all that worth it? No. Ain't nothing wrong with having that as long as it don't have you. Not preaching against that stuff. I'm just saying, you got to have your identity not in those things, but in who God is. Right. And then, of course, I'm going to have to run through these real quickly. Any kind of failure you've ever had, you're always going to try to identify with your failures. Any kind of trauma you've been through or close friends go through, He's going to make that your identity. Oh, I've been through this. Oh, I've been through this. Oh, I've been through that. No, you haven't been through it if you're still talking about it all the time. It has now become your identity. If you've been through it, you don't have to refer to it unless God wants to use it as a testimony. And God don't want to use that as your only testimony. But so many people, we attach ourselves to the trauma that gets us attention that we can say, oh, poor me, and pay me some attention, and I'm a victim. Whew. Let me go to this last one. Even religion can give you a false identity. Chevrolet coupe on your lawn. I got the Holy Ghost. You don't. I'm better than you. I just shined a lot and you can't. I'm better. And my whole identity becomes in my gifts versus the giver. Oh, I see that a lot. I can pray better than you. I can prophesy better than you. I'm higher than you. I speak in tongues more than you do. I've healed more people than you have. I've cast out demons before. So therefore, my identity's in all that, and I'm better than you. You are pathetic. Again, you're putting the gifts above the giver. You're out of alignment. Now, you love God. Again, God loves stupid people. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. None of us would be here today if he just killed every stupid person. We'd all be gone. So even wrapped up in religion, and especially, that's why you need to be kingdom and not religious. Anyway, I ain't got time to get on that. I'm getting on to that soonly. So what's the answer to this? And the answer to this is allowing Christ's redemption, what took place, in, excuse me, what was celebrated last week, the resurrection, allowing the resurrection to, go ahead and put it up, restore the true you. And today, this is all about restoring the true you. I'm not a good enough husband. I'm not a good enough wife. I'm not a good enough mom. I'm not a good enough dad. I'm not a good enough worker. I'm not a good enough child of God. I want to restore you back, says the Lord. To understand, it's not about your promises to God. It's about God's promises to you. Ephesians, we need to, if you don't get nothing today, get this verse. Take a picture of it, write it down, put it on your walls. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we, talking about the children of God, we are his, God's workmanship. You're the workings of God Almighty's hand. He formed you in your mother's womb. He brought you forth, created in his image. And he is molding you and shaping you if you'll let him have his hand on your life and believe him versus what everybody else thinks or says. We are his workmanship. Watch this now. We're created in Christ Jesus for good works, not bad works, not generational curses, not sinful acts. You're created by God with an identity to do his good works. Not your good works, his good works. Which, watch this, which God himself has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So before I was ever born, God knew I was going to be right here today. Amen. And he knows where I'm going to be at tomorrow. He knows where I was at yesterday. And he has things divinely appointed. If I will walk in my identity, that things will happen in my identity. Amen. But now I can walk out of yesterday with the wrong identity. I can be up here today with the wrong identity. And I can go into tomorrow and mess every plan of God up for my life. Everybody say, in Christ. In Christ. I'm going to kind of try to shotgun these. I'm going to try to be good. I want to give you four things I want you to reassure yourself and reestablish yourself on today. Number one, in Christ, you are chosen. Say this with me. Say, in Christ, I am chosen. Of everybody, he chose you. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and you're a holy nation. You're his own special people that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's who I am. Turn to your neighbor and say, I identify with that. That's my identity right there. Now, you know what? That's it, because that's the word of God. Right. Now watch this. That's for me, it's for you. There are days in my life, I don't feel like that. Am I alone?
No.
There are days that I don't feel like I'm living in a chosen generation at all. I don't feel like a royal priesthood. I don't feel like I'm in a holy nation. I don't feel like I'm one of his special people. I don't feel that I'm sitting here. I need to proclaim any praises of him who called me. And sometimes I think I'm still walking in the darkness and I'm not even in the light. But every part of identity theft begins with a lie. And I'm not called to walk with God based on my feelings. I'm called on God to walk by faith in his word. So when I don't feel anointed, I still am. When I don't feel like I'm living in a holy nation, this is a holy nation under God. When I don't feel like I'm walking in lightness, but I'm in darkness, I'm actually walking in the light. Now, the darkness is trying to come on me, yes, but I've got power in the name of Jesus not to believe the lie, but to walk in the truth. This is who I am. Turn to your second choice and say, I'm chosen. Second thing, say this with me. Say, in Christ, I am adopted. Now, whether y'all know it or not, most of us didn't come out of the lineage of Jesus. Most of us are of a Gentile descent. Bless you. That was a good one. Person in front of you probably got some of that. That's the anointing, y'all. Don't worry about it. Oh, the Lord hit me. Hallelujah. I know we're in overtime already, but I got to tell this. Have you ever watched people sneeze in church into a handkerchief? Somebody give me a poofy thing. Yeah. Bless you again. See, somebody got a double portion right there. I used to sit as a kid and watch this. And then I heard another person describe this, and I'm like, that's it. Now watch what I tell you. See if this is not true. Come on, son. Come on, y'all. You put that in there, and then you got to take a peek at it. Come on. Y'all know I'm not lying. Y'all done it too. Woo! Hey. And sometimes you'll even be like. And then sometimes you women, you'll fold that up and put it in your purse for later. Somebody say, back to the story. Back to the Word of God. Say to your neighbor, say, I'm adopted. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 to 16. For you did not receive a spirit of bondage. Let me say it again. You have not received a spirit of bondage, and bondage is a false identity. So you have not received a spirit of false identity in your bondage. Again, it leads you to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Next verse goes on and says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are, say it with me, declare it, the children of God, whether you feel like it or not. That's who God says you are, and bless God, that's who your identity is. Woo! I'm adopted into the family of God by the blood of Jesus. Look at your next neighbor and say, hey, guess what else? I am in Christ. I am forgiven. Oh, that's a big one. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. He, God Almighty, Jesus Christ, he is so rich in kindness and grace that he, Jesus, purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He didn't bring them back up to remind you how filthy and bad you are. That's the lie of the devil. He says, your sins are forgiven, plural. And I don't have time to go into this, and I don't want you to take it into some greasy grace demonic teaching, but your sins were forgiven past, present, and future. I mean, I'm looking on that one. Just keep coming back. Everybody say one more. Turn to your next neighbor and say, hey, guess what? In Christ, I am a new creation. I'm not like I used to be. I don't think like that anymore. Let me tell you something. You cannot encounter the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in the spiritual realm and stay the way you were. Impossible. You're going to be tempted to go back there. You're still going to have some thoughts of the past. It doesn't erase your memory. But bless God, you've got a changed, brand new thing living inside of you. It has awakened the Spirit of God in you. You have the living God inside you when you get born again. Whew. So I'm a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone, red, yellow, black, white, green, Muslim, Hispanic, Buddhist, it doesn't matter, Satanist, atheist, agnostic, anyone, everybody say anyone. Anyone. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a, say it with me, new creation. See it? I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. I got a new way of thinking. I got a new way of responding. I got a new way to respect. I got a new way to honor. I got a new attitude about serving. I got a new... You just get it all. Now, it has to be developed. And we're always developing. I'm still being developed in it. You're still being developed in it. I haven't arrived, nor have you arrived. But while we're on earth, we serve a perfect God. So, you are chosen, you're adopted, you're forgiven, and you're a brand new creation. How could you let anything else come against that is beyond me. And it takes a walk with God. It takes believing those scriptures right there to not fall into the world's identity that's setting up to take you into failure. Jesus just did not come to save you from sin. He came to restore the true identity of his children that got stolen in the garden. And at Calvary, he took the baton and handed it back to earth and said, everything's been restored. It is finished. Amen? And Jesus just didn't come to forgive you of your past, but he came to set you an identity that will take you into your purposed future. All right, come on up. I got one more real quickly. So the last note, walk in your God-given identity today. Please start doing that. You're not your failures. You're not your mistakes. Put it under the blood of Jesus and press into the future that God wants you to have. Well, I've been done this way. Well, have you been put on a cross and nailed to a cross? Anybody? I've been betrayed. Try being betrayed to the point again that your friend puts you on the cross. But it was my best friend. It was my pastor. It was the church. It was my husband. It was my wife. It was my dog. Who do you put your faith and trust for your future in more? Them and the past or God and a future? Loose it and let it go. Amen. Walk in your God-given identity. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. I want to talk about you and me here again. If then, and that's the part, if then you were raised with Christ, how many can identify with that? Yeah. Now this is a big if that's true. If you were raised with Christ, then seek those things which are above where Christ is. Stop seeking things on this earthly realm. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then these things will be added unto you, says the Lord. But think on the things which are where Christ is, and he is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind, there we go, the renewed mind. Renew your mind on things above and not on things of the earth. And then verse 3 says this, for you died. There you go. The old me died. Amen. Dead, gone. Don't want to resurrect that. For the old you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And then verse 4, when Christ who is our life appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Oh, that's the good part. I'm going to read it to you real quickly out of the Passion. I said I might not do this, but I'm going to go ahead because that's why I got tongue-tied, because I was prepared with the Passion. The same scripture out of the Passion Translation. Christ's resurrection in you is your resurrection too. If he's resurrected, so are you, if you love him and you accepted him. This is why we are to yearn for all that is above. For that's where Christ sits, enthroned in the place of all power, honor, and authority. Yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with distractions of this natural realm. Your crucifixion with Christ has severed the tie to this life. And now your true life is hidden away in God in Christ. And then the last verse. And as Christ himself is seen for who he really is, come on, who you really are will also be revealed, for you are now one with him in his glory. Yeah. When is that going to take place? Now. It's not a thing to go to heaven with. It's a thing to live in now. Your identity is in Christ if you're born again. And you just got to walk that out by faith. So stand to your feet this morning. I got one more note that I want to end with. Go ahead and put it up. Everybody look at that. Identity in Christ is not achieved, it's received. It's not by works, lest any man should boast. But it is the free gift of your salvation and grace and mercy through Jesus Christ who died for your sins. So, identity in Christ, you cannot achieve it on your own. You got to receive it from God and His Word. So bow your heads this morning. If you're here and you've never accepted Christ, and I know some of you may have come for the Blessing Sunday, and we're honored to have you, and we never try to pull anybody from church, but we want to offer you salvation, not to Journey Church, but to Jesus Christ. Okay? As a matter of fact, we tell you like this, you're not going to join a church today, not even here. We don't want you to think about that. And you're not becoming a Baptist, a Methodist, Episcopal, you're becoming a son or a daughter of God. So you're not going to join a church today, and you're not going to become religious today. You're going to become identified as a child of the Most High and only one true God, Jesus Christ Himself. And we've all got a past, and you cannot save yourself, so stop identifying. You can't achieve your identity in Christ on your own, but you can receive it through the blood of Jesus today and surrendering your life to take on the identity of a child of God. And if you've never done that, it would be our honor for you to lift your hand and let's pray with you today. So if that's you today in the house and you need to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today and surrender your life and begin to walk in your true identity as a child of God like never before, just lift your hand up. Anybody? Anyone? All right. How many would say today, I am living beneath my privileges? Raise your hand because I've got mine up. I've lived beneath my privilege as a child of God. I believe some of the world's stuff over what the Word of God says. And I want to challenge you today. You can go ahead and put those hands down. How many would say today, I want to repent from that? I don't want to mouth off a little forgive me for it knowing I want to go back for it, because repent means I am going to turn 180 degrees and I'm going to walk away from that mindset and that identity and that theology and that doctrine, and I'm going to walk into what God says. So how many would say today, I want to repent from taking on some of the world, and I want to run to my identity in Christ today? Come on, lift your hands up if that's what you want today. Well, let me just pray over you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want to open heaven up today, God, and give them a portal that lets them see into the third heaven today, where you sit and where your word reigns supreme, the word of God that we have with us here today. And our names are written in the Lamb's book of life because we love you, Father. And we've received you into our life. And the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead now lives and breathes and moves within us. And now we command our soulish realm to come into obedience, to not fall for the lies, the deception that Eve fell into, that Adam fell into, and that most of all of history, even every apostle, every disciple of Christ, we've all fallen into it. But Lord, make us sharp today. Give us discerning today, God. Let us go from faith to faith and glory to glory today, God. Let us step into another realm and dimension of authority over the enemy's lies. And so, Lord, for every person that desires that, I just declare an open heaven of wisdom, knowledge, and anointing and discernment come upon you and your family and your marriage and in your kids and your finances. Everything about you, the wisdom of God come upon you for the glory of God in Jesus' name. If that's you and you want to receive that, just say yes and amen. Amen. Come on, let's give you glory in here. Amen.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.